أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, believers, be conscious of God, and let every soul see what it has sent forth for the morrow. And be conscious of God, for God is aware of whatever you do. And don't be like those who have forgotten God, who therefore has made them forget their own souls. They are the ones who are dissolute. The inmates of the fire and the inhabitants of the garden are not equal. The inhabitants of the garden are the ones who are triumphant. Had we sent this recital down on a mountain, you would see it humbled, cracking in awe of God. And those are the examples we set forth to humanity, so that they might reflect. This is the God, other than which there is no deity. Knower of the invisible and the evident, the benevolent, the merciful. This is the God, other than which there is no deity. The sovereign, the holy, peace, the giver of safety, the protector, the almighty, the omnipotent, the overwhelming. Glory to God, beyond any association they attribute. This is God, the originator, the creator, the shaper, to whom refer the most beautiful names in the heavens and on earth, being the almighty, the perfectly wise.
مرحبا Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. On behalf of the Board of Trustees, the faculty, staff, and students at Zaytuna College, I'd like you to welcome all of you to the commencement ceremony of our graduating class of 2023, which has now begun, so please be seated. Honored guests, esteemed faculty, our board, proud parents, and our remarkable students, graduates now of Zaytuna College's 10th commencement ceremony. I'm humbled to stand before you today amidst the captivating beauty of our campus, adorned with its gardens and trees, as we celebrate the culmination of your educational journey. In the essence of Zaytuna, the Arabic word for olive, we find a profound metaphor that encapsulates the purpose of our noble institution. Just as the olive tree serves as a symbol of resilience, enlightenment, and sustenance, Zaytuna College seeks to restore the centrality of knowledge in the Islamic tradition, while embracing the cultural currents shaping our modern world. As we embark upon this momentous occasion, let us turn to the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The example of his light is that of a niche in which there is a lamp. The lamp is in a glass. The glass looks like a brilliant star. It's lit by oil of a blessed tree, the oil which is neither eastern nor western. In this verse, we discover a rich tapestry of symbolism. The niche represents the human soul, while the lamp signifies the divine knowledge that resides within it. The glass, like a shining, brilliant star, reflects the human intellect, a vessel ready to receive and radiate wisdom. And within this lamp, burning bright, is the oil derived from the blessed olive tree, an emblem of knowledge, truth, and guidance. So that concludes the speech that was created by ChatGPT. So I was telling one of our staff yesterday that we had a long board meeting yesterday, which some people think is spelled B-O-R-E-D, but it's actually not. And I was really exhausted. I said, I've got to write some words. Oh, she said, ChatGPT will do that for you. So I said, really? She said, yeah, I'll send it to you. So she sent me three different speeches. They were all reasonably good, which deeply troubled me. And I'm wondering how many college presidents today are giving ChatGPT speeches. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who I actually met once and asked him if he thought the grand chessboard was still a valid thesis, and he said, there's more proof for it now than there was when I wrote it. Well, he actually wrote a book in 1967 called Between Two Ages, and in that book he said the Third American Revolution, which the first is obviously begins in 1776, the second is the Industrial Revolution, but the third he called the Tektronic Revolution, which was the merging of technology and electricity. So he said the Third American Revolution highlights the sharp contrast between our technical success and our social failure. And it raises basic questions concerning the control and direction of the thrust of technological innovation. How are choices made? Why are they made? By whom are they made? What values are involved in these choices, and how can they be crystallized so that a coherent policy can be shaped? These questions increasingly beset all modern societies, but given the extensive social scope of contemporary American science and technology, this challenge is especially important in the United States because it affects and potentially threatens the most intimate aspects of American life. Since it appears true that this society has chosen to emphasize technological change as its chief mode of creative expression and basis for economic growth, it follows that the society's most imperative task is to define a conceptual framework in which technological change can be given meaningful and humane ends. Unless this is done, there is a real danger that by remaining directionless, the third American Revolution, so pregnant with possibilities for individual creativity and fulfillment, can become socially destructive. So, something to think about. I probably could have gotten away with my ChatGPT speech, and everybody would have said, it was okay. So, how do we deal with that? Well, part of it is that we have to think deeply. We have to think about what technology is doing and where it's taking us. But we have to think deeply, and thinking demands effort. In fact, in our tradition, deep thinking is called ijtihad, which is the expenditure of the utmost effort that we have. Yajtahidu. It's also related to yujahidu, which is jihad, intellectual jihad. We forget about that, that there is an intellectual jihad to think deeply about things, but also to use our intellects to defend the most important things, just as the military jihad is to defend a state, to defend its borders against invaders. Intellectual jihad is to defend the mind against the invaders of the mind. And they're everywhere today. They're in our homes. We turn them on daily. But to think deeply and freely necessitates one's mind being free of four things: ego, which we call nafs; ulterior motives, which we call hawa; delusion, which we call dunya; and malevolent insinuations, which we call shaitan. Without freeing one's heart from these four enemies, we don't stand a chance. But I would add to them a fifth enemy: illiberal thinking, which is related to all four. And it's necessary for all four to succeed. What do I mean by illiberal thinking? I mean the thought which is done without the arts that free one to deliberate, which comes from a beautiful Latin compound, de and libere, to weigh in the balance. To weigh in the balance. In other words, to reckon with the outcomes, to determine whether a choice is a good one, does it benefit, or does its harm outweigh its benefit? This is called maslaha and mafsada. It's the foundation of our tradition in looking at what is beneficial and what is harmful, because our tradition says to follow what is beneficial and to avoid what is harmful. What are the sound scales? Why does God say, wazinu bil qistas al mustaqim, weigh with an upright scale? Imam al-Ghazali, in his brilliance, wrote a book of logic called al qistas al mustaqim. That reason is that scale that God has given us, but reason enlightened by revelation. Nurun ala nur, light upon light, the light of reason when it is illuminated by the light of revelation. Through sound reason, we can weigh a proposition in the scales of free thought to determine if it's worthy of its pursuit. Then, if necessary, one can, through the art of rhetoric, persuade others of the soundness of that course or of the dangers and the perils. These five enemies are lurking in one's mind or heart during the deliberation. One loses one's way, and hence one's ability to weigh. We have only introduced you to these arts of freedom, you graduates. You've been introduced to them. You're not masters of them. We're not masters of them. We're still studying them. They're a lifelong study. The subtleties of language and literature through the mastery of grammar become clear and more distinct the more one learns. The fallacies and follies of so much human thought reveals itself through the mastery of dialectic. And finally, the beauty of effective language skillfully used for the common good. Shakespeare, in his autobiographical character Prospero — most of Shakespearean scholars say that Prospero represents him, it's his last play, The Tempest — he says of the liberal arts, and Prospero, Prospero, the prime duke, being so reputed in dignity and for the liberal arts without parallel, those being all my study. So if you want to know why Shakespeare's great and still read in so many places, he was a master of the arts. He had his genius, but he was a trained genius. When Caliban, the savage in the play, advises Stefano and Trinculo about overcoming Prospero, he says to them, "Remember to first possess his books, for without them he's but a sot." This is how the same demons achieve the usurpation of power from the Muslims. Possess their books, especially their book, for without it they're but sots. As the great German jurist Freyer stated, study conceives knowledge, but knowledge gives birth to love, love to likeness, likeness to community, community to strength, strength to worthiness, worthiness to power, and power makes miracles. This is the route to the goal of magical accomplishment, both divine and natural. Well, we have something called mafhum and mukhalafa, which is to look at what the opposite meaning, because it gives you an understanding. So if we reverse this, neglect of study leaves one in ignorance. Ignorance gives birth to hate. Hate gives birth to differences. Differences to social fragmentation. Social fragmentation to powerlessness, and powerlessness to abject humiliation, and abject humiliation to utter failure. Our path lies in the pursuit of knowledge, which prophetically was determined to be from the cradle to the grave. Restoration of community remains our most urgent imperative. But we can only form real communities to the extent to which we can communicate, share common ideas and purposes. As one of my teachers stated, where men lack the arts of communication, intelligent discussion must languish. Where there is no mastery of the medium of exchanging ideas, ideas cease to play a part in human life. When that happens, men are but little better than brutes they dominate by force and cunning, and they will soon try to dominate each other in the same way. Loss of freedom follows. Again, to paraphrase him, we are under the illusion today that we have a liberal society, but it is a false liberalism that confuses authority with tyranny, that arises when people assume that everything is simply a matter of opinion, that doctrine that everything is simply a matter of opinion is suicidal. It will result in the doctrine of might makes right. When we free ourselves from reason rather than through it, we surrender to the only other arbiter in human affairs. Force. He says the political implications of the liberal arts are not far to seek. If democracy is a society of free men, it must sustain and extend liberal education or perish. Democratic citizens must be able to think for themselves. To do this, they must first be able to think and have a body of ideas to think with. Shakespeare clearly understood this, and I've repeated this before, but it's worth it. For tyranny to flourish, the population must be deprived of the arts of liberty. In Henry VI, Shakespeare writes this speech, and this is from Tyranny. "Thou hast most traitorously corrupted the youth of the realm by erecting grammar schools. And whereas before our forefathers had no other books but the score and the tally, consumerism, thou hast caused printing to be used, and contrary to the king, his crown and dignity, thou hast built a paper mill." In other words, the spread of knowledge. Reading and writing look to that man like treason. We find this in the archetypal tyrant of the Quran, the most repeated story in the Quran. When Allah says, فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمُهُ فَأَطَاعُوهُ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. Dr. Cleary, in his often brilliant diction, word choice, says, "Thus he made his people flippant." So I looked up flippant just to, you always have to look up these words because we learn them very often in context. It is a quality that is personified in levity, which is lightness. And that's exactly what the Quran says. He made them light. He made them khafif. He made them flippant. He made them people of entertainment. He took away their gravitas. Gravitas, from the Latin, weighted down. Gravity, it weights you down. What did Allah call our species? Athaqalan, the weighty ones. That's what we are. The ins and the jinn are the two weighty ones. Thus he made his people flippant, and they went along with that, for they were indeed a dissolute people. Tyrants in the past used armies to control their people. They don't need armies anymore. They have armies of public relations teams, PR firms, propagandists, advertisements. One of the reasons the political science Hobbes looked askance at democracy was, according to him, it had the tendency to degenerate into an oligarchy of orators. Today, it would be sound bites on TikTok. Not TikTok. Sub-TikTok is good. TikTok is bad. Right? I asked the clock how things were going. He said, TikTok. The only force that can oppose this tendency is the critical capacity of the citizenry. This can only occur if they are liberally educated, but I will say more, the more educated, quote unquote, in a system that indoctrinates rather than truly educates, the less they are susceptible to propaganda. This is one of Chomsky's valid points, that the most uneducated people in America tend to be the least susceptible to the propaganda. You've been introduced into a dying form of education that needs to be revived. John Kennedy, the former president, assassinated, gave a speech in front of the American Newspapers Publishers Association, and he said, without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even to anger public opinion. We need to be able to discuss the momentous events and ideas that affect us and our societies with intelligence and forbearance. This is only done in the spirit of philia, brotherly love. This is why the first capital of the U.S. was named Philadelphia, which is where our wonderful commencement speaker today is from. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, which is now over 10% Muslim. Our prophet said, none of you truly believes until he or she loves for his or her fellow man. He said brother, but all of our commentators say it means brother in humanity. Until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. We need more brotherly love, more community, but most importantly, more family, because that's where it begins. And without that, we have no hope. So leave Zaytuna when you're in your bodies, but not in your hearts. Be people of decorum. Be people of dignity. Be people that carry themselves, comportment, to carry yourself with dignity. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have ennobled the children of Adam. Be noble people. Don't be flippant people. Don't be glib people. Don't be people that go to the easy choices. Think deeply about the things that confront you. Be able to say, I don't know. But most importantly, make your prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, proud of you on the day of judgment. Because he said, I want to be proud on the day of judgment. Inni mubahin bikum. I'm going to be proud of my community on the day. Be amongst those people that he's proud of, because there are people that he calls them to his hold and the angels say, no, they changed after you. Suhqan wa bu'da. Don't be amongst those people. Be people that our Prophet is proud of. And in conclusion, two things from the Quran that I want to remind you of, and then the first is this dunya is tribulation. Imam al-Junaid, who you all know now, who he was if you didn't before you came here, he said, "A dunya daru hammin wa ghammin wa bala'in wa fitna." This is an abode of stress, of tribulation, of strife. And he said, if you understand that, you will be grateful and you will be patient. If you lose that understanding, you will get frustrated with this world, because it's a frustrating place for the people that don't have that knowledge. So, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِيكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْرِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمَ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Or think you that you will enter paradise while such trials will not come to you as they came to those who were before you? They were touched by poverty and hardship and were shaken until even the messenger and those who believed with him said, when will the help of God come? Yes, certainly the help of God is near. So it's always going to be near. So just remember that. And the second one, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. Stand out firmly for justice as witnesses, but never forget that justice must always be tempered by mercy. And our Prophet was a merciful Prophet before he was a just Prophet. Allah did not say, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا عَدْلًا وَعَدَالَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He could have. He was sent first and foremost as a mercy. But we need justice, and we're in a world often defined by injustice. So be people who are just to the point where they're willing to testify against themselves. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
One Art by Elizabeth Bishop. The art of losing isn't hard to master. So many things seem filled with the intent to be lost that their loss is no disaster. Lose something every day. Accept the fluster of lost door keys, the hour badly spent. The art of losing isn't hard to master. Then practice losing farther, losing faster. Places and names and where it was you meant to travel. None of these will bring disaster. I lost my mother's watch. And look, my last or next to last of three loved houses went. The art of losing isn't hard to master. I lost two cities, lovely ones, and vaster, some realms I owned, two rivers, a continent. I missed them, but it wasn't a disaster. Even losing you, the joking voice, a gesture I love, I shan't have lied. It's evident the art of losing is not too hard to master, though it may look like, write it like disaster. Thank you.
We have a really wonderful commencement speaker. She is a very, very esteemed and distinguished daughter of a personal friend of mine. Really wonderful imam from Philadelphia. And this is Sister Rahima Abdul Alim. She serves as special assistant to the President of the United States. She's in the White House. She's a general counsel in the Office of Administration at the White House. She's also the chief legal advisor in the executive office. Prior to that, she served as a senior trial lawyer for Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice, as well as an attorney for two nationally recognized law firms. She is a member of the National Association of Muslim Lawyers and the Capital Area Muslim Bar Association. She serves as a board chairman and director at Karama, a nonprofit organization of Muslim women lawyers for human rights. Sister Rahima graduated from two very distinguished American institutions. She did her undergraduate undergraduate at Yale, and then she did her law degree at Harvard. But she chose a path that I think more of us need to think about seriously as Muslims, and that's the path of public service. It's one of the highest things that you can do is serve your society, and she's chosen that path. She could have been a very wealthy, successful corporate lawyer, but she chose actually the arduous path of being a public servant, public servant. So let's welcome Rahima Abdul Ali.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. Assalamu alaikum. I greet you with the Arabic greeting meaning peace be upon you. So before I get started, I have a bit of housekeeping, a statement that I have to make for work. So the views I express here are my personal views and do not necessarily represent the views of the Office of Administration or the Executive Office of the President. So now, let's get back to business. So as I reviewed the invitation to today's commencement ceremony, it read, "Inshallah, this will be a gathering of remembrance, gratitude, and lifelong lessons." And then I thought, wow, no pressure. So congratulations to the 2023 graduates of Zaytuna College, your parents and friends. This year represents an important milestone for Zaytuna College. It is conferring degrees to its 10th class receiving Bachelor's of Arts degrees, and its fourth class earning Master's of Arts degrees. So congratulations to all of you. As I look out on the graduates here today, I would like to congratulate you on your accomplishments. You all are quite impressive. From Malaysia to Maryland, from Granada Hills, California to Humble, Texas, from Ireland to Dublin, California. The class of 2023, you represent the diversity of the Muslim world, but not only in terms of geographic diversity. I'm also speaking of racial diversity, economic diversity, and ethnic diversity. You also represent a diversity of thought. This was evident in your insightful and thoughtful thesis topics. You see, I still do some research before I come speak. I saw that some of those topics included the Believer's Guide to the Horizons, an Islamic framework for weather phenomena, to Rebuilding the Bedrock, contemporary Muslim legal scholars' engagements with capitalism, to Analysis methodology for producing fatwas regarding COVID vaccines, and Usuli and Maqasidi perspective. Your thoughtful scholarship embodies the mission of Zaytuna College, which is to educate and prepare morally committed professional, intellectual, and spiritual leaders who are grounded in the Islamic scholarly tradition and conversant with the cultural currents and critical ideas shaping modern society. As you leave here today and embark on the next chapter of your professional and personal lives, remember what you have received through your time here at Zaytuna and the importance of remaining true to its mission, which is to be grounded in the Islamic scholarly tradition and conversant with what is going on in the world around us. As you leave here today, Remember to bring your whole selves, your unique Muslim identities, to every profession and every job that you may hold, whether here in America or abroad. Bringing the Muslim perspective to every arena is vitally important. You see, this is a lesson that my parents instilled in me at a very young age. As Sheikh Hamza mentioned, my father is an imam in Philadelphia, and my parents both taught in public school there. We learned early on that our unique perspective was needed and valued. It wasn't something that was merely to be tolerated. It was vital to our community, our country, and this world. Because we aren't just concerned about the condition of other Muslims. We are concerned about all of humanity and committed to living a life in service to all people. You see, today I am here, the descendant of enslaved Africans. It was over 400 years ago that enslaved Africans began being brought to our shores. Among those enslaved were Muslims, who, despite the horrors imposed upon them, worked hard to maintain their faith. Their prayers, their fortitude, and their faith have allowed me to be here today, an embodiment of the hopes and dreams of the enslaved. But you see, despite the fact that my ancestors have been present in this country for generations, I recall a time when I was walking to work in D.C., and my presence was questioned. I vividly recall exiting the metro, excitedly walking to my job at the Department of Justice, where someone yelled at me, "Go back where you came from." And I looked around puzzled, and the person yelled at me again, "Go back where you came from." I thought, who is he yelling at? He can't possibly be talking to me. Go back. How many of you have ever heard something like that? Go back where you came from. How many of you have ever been asked, "Where are you from?" You give an answer, and they say, no, really, where are you from? How many of you have ever heard, "Wow, your name doesn't sound American"? You see, as a Black American Muslim, I was raised to be proud of my Black American and Muslim identities. You see, I am part of a long line of Muslims who have worked to hold this country to its highest ideals. I recall reading an article by Nicole Hannah Jones recently where she shared that Black Americans have been and continue to be foundational to the idea of American freedom. More than any other group in this nation's history, we have served generation after generation in an overlooked but vital role. It is we who have been the perfecters of this democracy. When I read that quote, it spoke to me as a Muslim. You see, my parents always stressed the importance of holding our country to its democratic principles, even when it fell short. They told us that we were uniquely qualified to understand through our country's history that though it didn't always live up to its stated ideals, we were committed to doing our share and working to make this country better. Bringing our Muslim identity to every endeavor, stressing the importance of justice, fairness, and equity in all of our dealings. You know, as Sheikh Hamza mentioned during his talk, I attended Harvard Law School, and every year I go back there to teach for a week in a trial advocacy workshop. And when I went there, I saw on the words of justice exhibit, which is on the walls. So let me tell you about this exhibit. In 2012, Harvard Law School decided to install this words of justice exhibit prominently on the walls of a law school. And the dean at that time wrote in the introduction to the exhibit how the words on these walls affirm the power and irrepressibility of the idea of justice. They give testimony to the endurance of humanity's yearning for fairness and dignity through law. There are 33 quotes printed on the walls. You may be thinking, how is this relevant? Well, I'll tell you, one of those 33 quotes is from the Holy Quran. Surah Nisa, Surah 4, verse 135. On the walls of the Harvard Law School, it reads, O ye who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even as against yourselves or your parents or your kin, and whether it be against rich or poor, for Allah can best protect both. So you see, other communities have also recognized the importance and critical importance of the words of justice that we have all been exposed to through our holy book, the Quran. Growing up, my parents instilled in me that we are Americans who are Muslim by choice. They stressed that our Muslim identity would help inform and shape our American identity. We were taught to be proud of our identity while recognizing the universality of the message of Islam and the importance of working for the betterment of all humanity. This is a message that Muhammad Ali, may Allah forgive his sins and grant him paradise, embodied. He showed the world that it was possible to be unapologetically Muslim while also making sure to be committed to all of humanity. And when he passed, my friend Khalid Beydoun, who's a noted author and professor, remarked that Ali lifted the heads of black people everywhere, Muslims everywhere, underdogs and marginalized people the world over with his unrivaled charisma, courage, and God-given ability to transcend the bounds of boxing and politics, race and religion. This is a message that it is so important for each of you to take as you leave here today. You see, you remember that story I told you earlier about what happened when I was walking to work that day? I could have let that derail me. I could have begun to question whether I did belong, but I didn't. I remembered those lessons from my youth. I remembered those lessons from my community members and lessons from my parents and leaders like Muhammad Ali, who stressed that we belonged. We all belong, and we all have a unique story and perspective to share. So you all may encounter people along the way who may try to detract you or derail you, but don't let anyone take you from the path that you were on. Don't let anyone make you question whether you belong. Be proud of your identities, continue the work of being in service to all of humanity, and in doing so, let us remember the legacy of the countless Muslims who have paved the way for me and who have paved the way for each of you, who were unapologetic in embracing their Muslim identity, who stressed the importance of being proud of who they were and the important contributions they had to offer in all fields, and who let the world see and learn about the universal message of Islam and its commitment to being concerned for all of humanity. You see, every day I take these important lessons with me as I enter the White House complex. I enter as a proud Muslim woman from Philadelphia, a former civil rights attorney at the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. And now when I introduce myself to people, I introduce myself and say, good morning. I am Rahima Abdul Alim, Special Assistant to the President and General Counsel in the Executive Office of the President, Office of Administration. I pray this commencement will be one of remembrance, gratitude, and lifelong lessons for you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم Greetings to President Hamza Yusuf, Imam Zaid Shakir, Dr. Hatim Bazian, our esteemed faculty, generous supporters, well-loved staff, dearest peers, and honored guests. Bear with me as I will use pre-modern Arabic poetry to share some thoughts at this august occasion. And like Sister Rahima, I have some house rules. Translations aren't mine, just in case I get called out for plagiarism. So, inshallah. I begin with words from the Arab poet Labid ibn Rabi'a, who lived during the time of our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عَفَتِ الدِّيَارُ مَحَلُّهَا فَمُقَامُهَا بِمِنَنْ تَأَبَّدَ غَوْلُهَا فَرِجَامُهَا فَمَدَافِعُ رَيَّانِ عُرِّيَ رَسْمُهَا خَلَقًا كَمَا ضَمِنَ الْوُحِيَّ سِلَامُهَا The tent marks in Mina are worn away, where she encamped and where she alighted. Ghaul and Rijam left the wild. And the torrent beds of Rayyan, naked tracings, worn thin like inscriptions carved in flattened stones. 4 years ago, and for some of us six, we alighted at a campsite filled with living traces of where the beloved once dwelt. As newly enrolled students hailing from California, Texas, South Dakota, Maryland, and New York, and from the distant lands of Sweden, Malaysia, Dubai, and Ireland, 13 of us chose to set up camp in a vicinity still fragrant by the pleasant scents of those who preceded us. Our commencement today marks a new phase in our Zaytuna Ode, or Qasida. Similar to Labid's poem and other Arabic Qasidas, three parts define our quest. First, a Nasib, where we elegized our beloved's campsite, followed by a journey, Rahil, embarked by our mighty caravan, and finally, a celebratory boast, Fakhr, rooted in our gratitude to God, lauded by all who are present here today. It is an undeserved honor for me to speak on behalf of these 20 brave wayfarers graduating today, who sang from their very first day what the 6th century poet Al-Shanfura did. فَقَدْ حُمَّتِ الْحَاجَاتُ وَاللَّيْلُ مُقْمِرٌ وَشُدَّتْ لِتِيَّاتِ مَطَايَا وَأَرْحُلُ Provisions have been readied, the moon is full, mounts and saddle frames secured for distant crossings. As the semesters pass amidst this blessed campsite, we soon realize that, unlike those at Imr al-Qais, our beloveds have never truly departed Dakhul and Haumal, but are in fact alive and well in our midst. Love of letters, love of the good, love of truth. Like Aisha Qais's beloved Huraira, true and beneficial knowledge is still here. You can hear her bracelets tinkle when she retreats like the wind rustling through acacia beads. In our Zaytuna Ode, we relish in the beautiful traces of men and women who hallmark our tradition. Learning grammar remains a rite of passage, studying Arabic a sacred activity, gazing at the stars an act of worship. The entire Zaytuna Ode ornamented by our belief in Allah and His Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Deserted as it might seem from the outset, this campsite was brought to life by means of our caravan chiefs, our teachers, without whom we were and would have been very, very lost. While the pre-Islamic poet Antara ibn Shaddad once sang, Afar rusuma wa baqi al-atlali, rihu al-saba wa tajurrumu al-ahwali, la'ibat ba'a fiha wa akhlaqa rasmuha, wa wakifu kulli muljaljalin hattali, kanat banu hindin fasotta mazaruha, wa tabaddalat khaytan minal ajali. The years passed and the east wind blew, even the ruins fell into ruin. Tired playthings of time and the thunder and rain, Clan Hind lived here once. You can't visit them now. Fate has spun their thread. But instead, you teachers, you constantly reminded us of God's words that a land desolate and barren may one day, through his leave, come back to life. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنَّكَ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِئَةً فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ إِنَّ الَّذِي أَحْيَاهَا لَمُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى إِنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Another of his signs is that you see the earth lying desolate, but when we send water down to it, it stirs and grows. He who gives it life will certainly give life to the dead. He has power over everything. Quite unlike those desolate encampments of Antara and Labid, this campsite of ours in Berkeley, California, was and will constantly be, God willing, brought back to life by the teachers, noble men and women all, who guard it from turning into a mere bygone memory of the past. As chiefs of this caravan, you patiently endured guiding our young hearts and minds every step of the way, from teaching us how to properly pronounce the Arabic alphabets to leading us into the very warp and woof of our timeless texts. We can confidently say that you prepared us well with provisions ahead. But we were never alone in this caravan. To our underclassmen, I would say you made this journey all the more profound and insightful. To the upperclassmen and alumni, in many ways we followed in your desert tracks. To all the staff, you beautified this campsite in ways unimaginable. And to those who prayed for and supported Zaytuna, this caravan journey would not be possible without you. And let's not forget those we bid farewell to before this journey even began. Our loving parents, our spouses, our siblings, and our families. Your prayers and blessings kept us safe. And last but certainly not least, to the 13 BA graduates and 7 MA graduates before me today, I can only hope that we experience a share of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he addressed the Ansar. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَوْ سَلَكَتِ الْأَنصَارُ وَادِيًا أَوْ شِعْبًا لَسَلَكْتُ وَادِيَ الْأَنصَارِ أَوْ شِعْبَهُمْ. If the Ansar took their way through a valley or a mountain pass, I'll certainly proceed with the valley or mountain pass taken by the Ansar. It has been an honor to share these past 4 years with you. You've given me everything I have, and I leave well equipped for the journey ahead. May today's ode serve as a celebration of gratitude to God who kept us safe and sound and prepared us for many more journeys to come. Bon voyage.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is with great honor that I humbly stand before my teachers, colleagues, family, and supporters of Zaytuna College as a student speaker at this commencement ceremony. And what better way to commence than with the inimitable words of our Lord, who states in the beginning chapter of the Quran, the opening, "Show us a straight path, the path of those you have favored, not of those who are objects of anger, nor of those who wander astray." Before I speak about the 4 years of study that my classmates and I experienced, I must mention something which started long before my freshman year at Zaytuna. It started with a prayer, engraved in my heart and oft repeated on my tongue. رَبِّ هِدِنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. My Lord, please guide me toward the right way. Each time I felt I was headed the right way, I found the door closed. I felt helpless, lost, and constantly praying for guidance. Soon enough, my prayers were answered, and Zaytuna College opened its gate. As I approached, I found others waiting with anxious anticipation. When they were asked, "Why Zaytuna?" their answers reflected my own. It's almost as if God brought me here, or this was the answer to my dua, and finally, I'm not sure, but I'm trusting God's plan for me. And so, with a firm resolve and shaky steps, and with our trust in God, we began our Zaytuna journey. Right away, we noticed how generous our provisions were. We had shelter in the dormitory, meals when we were hungry, time for study in and out of classrooms, and rest when needed. Every step on our path was made possible through the prayers of our well-wishers and our donors who believed in Zaytuna's mission. Ultimately, all generosity stems from God, the most generous, who, with his infinite mercy, granted us your support, and for that, we are eternally grateful. On this journey, we were blessed with amazing teachers and mentors who walked ahead of us, guiding us through the rigorous road, helping us avoid the pitfalls of sophistry and the traps of metaphysical highwaymen who might rob us of our spiritual sight, veiling us from the primordial truths that exist within us. From our teachers, we understood that these primordial truths are our weapons that must be sharpened so we may defend ourselves down this path. They helped us acquire the tools of learning, of grammar, logic, and rhetoric, which enabled us to discern what's real and what's not, and they introduced us to the rich tradition of creedal theology, jurisprudence, and the principles of Islam, which fortified us so we might serve as intellectual warriors. We learned to contemplate the world with wonder, and we learned that knowledge begins with much effort and with knowing oneself. Our studies were both rigorous and invigorating, and before we knew it, its 4 years have passed, and we are here now. Throughout this journey, we were challenged intellectually, spiritually, and personally. All the while, we kept our eyes on the signs, pointing us to our telos, our ultimate purpose. Here, I'm reminded of the words of British author and philologist J.R.R. Tolkien, who says, "Still round the corner there may wait a new road or a secret gate. And though I oft have passed them by, a day will come at last when I shall take the hidden paths that run west of the moon, east of the sun." At Zaytuna, we have acquired knowledge from both the Eastern tradition and the Western tradition, granting us two lamps to light our journey on the straight path mentioned in the first chapter of the Quran. In our time here, we have been gifted sharpened minds and gleaming shields, enabling us to stand at any gate with strength, confidence, and humility. To my underclassmen, I urge you to continue to sharpen your minds and your shields and be cognizant of God in every intention and step that you take. And to my cohort members, I remind myself and all of you that our life of learning has only just commenced, and that we ought to use the tools we've acquired here, and may we hold on to the tools of the spirit, God consciousness, pure intentions, and sincerity. We have shared the road these past 4 years, but must find our own paths now. Although ultimately, may they all lead us to the straight path. May all that we have learned on this journey serve us to defend the truth and help others to enjoin good and forbid evil. So let us enter now our own paths undaunted, knowing that we carry with us the lights of the western moon and the eastern sun, both of which reflect the ultimate nur, the Quran. May we all be among those that God tells us in his book. Then Allah, by his leave, guided those who believe to the truth of that wherein they differed. And Allah guides whom he wills to the straight path. And with this prayer, God willing, let us now commence our life of learning and of service. ما توفيق إلا بالله والسلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. When I arrived at Zaytuna College 6 years ago, I was trying to make sense of the world around me. I grew up at a time when it was easy to witness the immense challenges of a chaotic world, the dunya, on a global scale, but far more difficult to understand it. My 4 years in the undergraduate program taught me how to diagnose its debilitating impact on individuals, leading me to explore trauma as rooted in the disordering of the soul in my BA thesis. But it was these last 2 years, completing a master's in Islamic law and legal theory, which really helped me understand a possible cure. Through a deep study of some of the greatest scholarly works of the Islamic tradition, from Al-Qunaymi's Lubab to Al-Ghazali's Iqtisad, I learned to think less like ideologues of today and more like the intellectual giants of the past, to view the world through the lens of the Sharia. The law track of the MA program takes you through a journey, moving from particulars to universals. In the first year, we grounded ourselves in the study of Islamic commercial law alongside Hanafi legal theory with Dr. Fadi Ahin. In the second year, we were introduced to a macroscopic view, seeing how these particulars were part of universal legal maxims, and under the guidance of Sheikh Talal Ahdab, we were able to see how the Sharia could ultimately be subsumed under 5 universal objectives, the maqasid. I was also blessed to audit the MA theology classes, which bolstered my studies in the law track. Long before the zeitgeist of our modern world began to deconstruct meaning and reality, our scholars were concerned with their protection, beginning with how and what we can know. Far from being subjective, they reinforced the idea that reality is fixed and knowable, and that one can use the tool sciences to begin understanding and interpreting the world. Through these basic first principles, all of the Sharia came alive, since it is from one singular expression of reality to bear witness that there is no God but God, that one's soul begins to understand everything else. Thus, while studying both maqasid and moral philosophy, my classmates and I began to realize that it is through our theological belief in God and his perfection that we understand that what he revealed to us manifests this perfection. By following his rulings and law, training our souls to align with virtue, and seeking that perfection by mirroring his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we return to our primordial perfection as servants in harmony with God. This process is rooted in the heart, and essential to it is love. This is reflected throughout the cosmos, which operates in unison only through the mercy of God's decree. It is both through him and to him, as expressed in a prophetic hadith, and thus the Sharia serves to reorient one to this reality, to become a muwahhid in all things. To deviate from him, individually or collectively, leads to strife, while to know him is to love him, by a love which permeates and unites all of creation. This was exemplified for me when I broadened my study of disorder from the individual to society and focused my MA thesis on the theory and practice of capitalism. Where once the centrality of ethics prescribed order in both the individual soul and in the practices of the community, modern economics causes chaos and catastrophe because it decenters the spiritual in favor of material desires. What I understand now is that there is another way. Just as one singular expression of reality can form the basis for harmony in the world, the directives of the Sharia can aim to bring creation back in alignment with this harmonious reality. This means the work of the individual in practicing the Sharia is crucial, as is the work of the community. I leave Zaytuna College knowing that change can come about through one of us, but should be a responsibility for all of us, and that the way forward is a way of return to our primordial recognition of reality and to act based upon it in every facet of life. This is hopeful because it means that our differences, far from being a means of separation, indicate the precious necessity of each individual in crafting a solution. I myself am only a reflection of this, the product of the love and guidance of my parents and family, the gentle wisdom of my teachers, the nurturing friendship of all my fellow students, and the material and spiritual assistance of countless supporters of Zaytuna, most of whom I do not know. I believe in community as I am only here because of it, and no words can suffice to express the immense gratitude I feel for letting me witness it in the most beautiful way. The last 6 years have been the most precious gift from God, the blessings and benefits of which I will reap for years to come. To my cohort and to all the graduates today, may God allow us to use this gift in the most beautiful ways. May he protect and increase this institution and all who support it, and may we see the fruits of this journey in this life and the next. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam tasliman kathiran ya rabbil alameen. To the co-founders, board of trustees, members, the blessed graduates, esteemed faculty, staff members, parents, supporters, and guests, assalamu alaikum. The year is 1998. I'm 27 years old, my name is Dawood, but just the year before, my name was David. I'm in Damascus, Syria, sitting on thin pillows in a ground floor apartment, my back sore from the hard marble ground. Learning the basic grammatical structures of a sentence in Arabic from my former political science professor in Connecticut. To the students, just like you, during my time of studying Islam in Damascus, I was filled with gratitude for being shepherded by loving, knowledgeable teachers, my monetary needs being facilitated by generous donors, and for the blessings of being in the Ummah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you know, and as we've discussed, there is so much that you have come to learn at this college, and then there's also the challenge of applicability, applying your knowledge. And as students in Damascus, perhaps the height of our application of our knowledge was to make the Hajj or the Umrah. And I share a story with you. I got on a bus and drove from Damascus to Medina, not knowing what that journey would look like, and actually trusting in God and not having a place to stay, and said that I'm going as a guest and I'll figure it out. So as I'm in Medina and I've made my ziyarah and I've just been standing in front of the gates, I'm ushered to the side and I find a quiet space and a quiet moment, and I close my eyes and I raise my hands and I supplicate. I'm not sure if I feel adequate or if my umrah or if my ziyarah was done correctly. But I know that I should be filled with gratitude. And as this thought comes to my mind, I open my eyes and I see standing right next to me, shoulder to shoulder, Sheikh Abdurrahman Abulti, Sheikh Abdurrahman Abulti, the son of Sheikh Ramadan Abulti. I'd known him from Damascus because I had the pleasure of praying behind his father for a calendar year, living close to their home. And as I raise my hand, as I turn to him and I look, he turns to me and smiles and he says, "We must thank Allah for our ability to thank Allah. We must thank Allah for our ability to thank Allah." This is the story that came to me when I was asked to give a statement of gratitude at the 10th commencement of Zaytuna College. I tried to think about all the things that I would be grateful for, or that I should be grateful for. And I realized that all I could say, or that all I could do to show gratitude, would not equate to a drop of water in relation to all of the oceans in creation. The miraculous blessings of Zaytuna College that we have witnessed year after year after year, some 8,000 miles from Medina and 1,457 years after the establishment of this religion. Where do I begin? Do I start my gratitude with meeting Imam Zayd in 1989? Do I start my gratitude with meeting Sheikh Hamza in 1999? Do I start my gratitude with the first phone call from Imam Zayd inviting me and my wife to leave Dubai and teach at the first summer Arabic intensive in 2008? Do I start my gratitude with meeting Dr. Hatim and being under his tutelage for those first years of teaching the summer Arabic intensive, and then having him inform us that they will create Zaytuna College? Do I start my gratitude with my phone conversation with Sheikh Hamza inviting me to Zaytuna College as a full-time employee in 2013? Do I start my gratitude with the blessings of the faculty that I have met here and all that you have shared with me and the guidance that you have given me? Do I start my gratitude with the blessings of these students that have enriched my life in my time here in ways that you will never know, but I am thankful to God for every moment, for every word that we have spoken, for every supplication that we have made for each other. I thank Allah. Do I start my gratitude with the blessings of this staff, who love this college in ways that perhaps we will not understand? And I ask God for a constant increase for you and your families and all that you love and care about. Do I start my gratitude with the blessings of this physical place, of the garden, of the beautiful smell of the star jasmine that is outside of Sophia Hall, of the green hills of Tilden, or for the rain that makes it green from our Lord, and I can keep going and going? Or do I start with the blessing of being created? The answer to this is yes, and. Because the and is an indication that these constant blessings must have us showing our gratitude for what we receive at every moment of our life. It is, as Sheikh Abdul Rahman said, we must be thankful for our ability to be thankful. In our tradition, we are encouraged to be grateful not only for the blessings and favors we receive, but also for the ability to express gratitude itself, the ability to recognize and appreciate the blessings bestowed upon us is considered a blessing itself. The point is we are to live a life of gratitude. We are to live a life of gratitude. One might ask, what is to live a life of gratitude? And I would say that this life of shukr is to be recognized as a shakir when we meet our Lord. I will share with you two stories before I end my statement of gratitude. The first is when I was a student in the summer, sitting on the stairs in the heat of Damascus. I was reading an Arabic text with one of my teachers, making all kinds of grammatical mistakes. Reading the feminine as the masculine as the feminine, the dual as the singular as the dual. And my teacher looked at me and he said, "Ma bika ya Dawood, what is it with you?" And I said, "I'm frustrated because I'm not learning." And then he asked me a question. He said, "Is the earth spinning?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Is it moving around the sun?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you know how fast?" I said, "No." And then he told me. He said, "Do you feel it spinning?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Like this, Allah is teaching you. Because were you to come here for 1 year and study this language and be able to read everything perfectly, perhaps you would destroy yourself from the arrogance that you would feel." And a second story that I'll read. My Quran teacher opened up his home and I would read with him 6 days a week. And as we were reading between Asr and Maghrib, all of the adhan, all of the masajid began playing Quran over the loudspeakers, and we didn't know why. And my teacher, he left the room, and then he came back a few moments later, and he said, "Our president," at that time Hafiz Asad, "has died." And I said, "Ya Sheikh, should I stop reading?" He said, "Dawood, if I die, you continue reading." So I share these two lessons with you to understand the beauty of our teachers and to understand the immense gratitude that is due to them and to everyone who teaches us. I'll end. Our scholars teach us that shukr has three pillars. The first being recognition of the blessings. It's an understanding that all good things come from Allah, whether they are spiritual, material, or relational, and I have experienced the height of all of those at my time with you at Zaytuna College. There is no doubt that we all have experienced the miraculous blessings of Zaytuna College, but in reality, our very existence is miraculous. May Allah bless all of us to live our lives full of gratitude. Shukran, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, we really want to thank Imam Dawood and his family he's given 10 years of his life to this college. My daughter-in-law, Aisha Ibrahim, told me how meaningful the time that she had with him when he was taking them on trips and taking them on hikes and doing different things for the students. I think all the students have a deep love. I know that the college has a deep love for Imam Dawood. And so we really, he's moving on to another service to the community of Austin, Texas. So we really want to just thank him with deep gratitude for the time that he's given us here. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless his journey, to continue to bless him. And I know that his heart's not leaving Zaytuna because he's left his daughters here. So, we really feel a deep gratitude for Imam Dawood's time with us. So we had a gift for him, wanted to give you this. Alhamdulillah, we come to the real meaning of this commencement, which is the conferral of degrees. I want to remind the students that now you are officially Zaytunis. The great college of Tunisia, which is Az-Zaytuna College, Jami' Az-Zaytuna, the scholars that graduated from there were called Zaytuniyun, and they were competitors with two other great colleges, the Al-Azhar University and also the great college of the Qarawiyyin. So may you carry that laqab with the dignity that we hope for. So inshallah, we're going to commence the conferral of degrees. This is the main part of the commencement ceremony. It's an honor to honor our graduating students by awarding them their diplomas. So by the authority of the Board of Trustees and with the recommendation of the faculty of Zaytuna College, we now confer the degrees of Bachelor of Arts and the Master of Arts upon the class of 2023. Alhamdulillah, this class is a blessed class for us because we have now graduated over 100 students in the 10 years that we've been here. And we also have alumni this year that became, we have four graduates of law schools. We had our first two medical graduates, Amnida Ahmed and Ahmed Suwaid. And when I said to, I thanked one of the two graduates' parents for sending them for entrusting us with their child at Zaytuna, and they said, well, actually, we were very opposed to it because their child had gotten into Princeton. But they said, but now we're really happy that she made that decision. So, bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. So with our 101st diploma, MashaAllah. This student, I remember from first time I met this student was in Malaysia, actually, at a rehla, and he accompanied me and showed me the streets of a country which I did not know. And alhamdulillah, after a little more than four years later, what an accomplishment Allah Ta'ala has blessed with Danny Ibn Abdul Rahim. He's 8, not yet. After I announce his thesis title, then for all students, inshallah. He's a budding designer, as the faculty have shared, an inspiring man of letters, adib. Danny Zaytuna sojourn might be summed up in one word, adab. Danny's intellectual life, Father Francisco notes, strikes me as the real deal. I admire this young man a lot and hope his future is bright indeed. Dr. Abdullah Ali can only say this, that he's handsome, dignified, and intelligent, a young man of great promise and pride for Zaytuna. The epitome of student adab, Danny was always the first to greet me, Dr. Atai says, and put his hand out, even when I tried to preempt him. He found a way to beat me. His khuluq is inspiring. His thesis title is, I am the jurist of the Arabians, nomadic, the legal, lexic, and ludic in Al-Hariri's Maqama Tayyibiyya, Danny Ibn Abdul Rahim. From Maryland, Imad came to Zaytuna as the first and only summer program for high school students and made his decision to apply based on that very experience. Father Francisco hopes that he found Zaytuna to have fulfilled its promise from those early days. Young, small, Dr. Ali Abdullah Ali says, unassuming but reflective. I see a young scholar in the making, attentive and contemplative. Imad is always learning. Imad's thesis is entitled The Path to Master Jurisprudence, a translation and commentary of Imam al-Kafi's Samt al-Wusul ila Ilm al-Wusul. Imad Ahmed. Possessing many virtues, Fatima al-Imam is always determined, hatim, to follow the light. When she sets her sight, her eyes shine bright. Hatim is her middle name. Fatima is a very persistent student, uniquely caring and compassionate, a light that our hallways will miss. Her thesis is entitled Unifying the Fragments of Modern Man, an analysis of Dr. Van Del Kolk's therapeutic approach through Imam Ghazali's heart-centered metaphysics. From South Dakota, Fatima al-Imam. Bintu Waqtiha, Sarah Babakar, cherished and relished her every moment during the past 4 years. The quality of her gratitude shook her only increased with age. Sarah is one of those students who is very organized and methodical in her work, Dr. Cindy notes. She started her thesis early and sent me regular installments to read, and I learned a lot about how her stories impact our worldview. She's brilliant yet humble and a true scholar in the making. Her thesis is entitled The Will to Power, Weaving Global Historiographies, Sarah Babakar. Father Francisco notes that Nusseibeh shows tremendous talent, ability, and determination. He states, I have every reason to believe that she will be remarkably successful in her life after Zaytuna. Nusseibeh would come to my office, Dr. Cindy notes, to talk about ancient Egypt and her thesis. She always told me the new things that she was discovering about Nietzsche or Akhenaten. Nusseibeh always beams a smile and radiates enthusiasm. Dr. Abdullah Ali notes, a great writer and storyteller, Nusseibeh shows great promise. She rocks. One of the greatest thesis colloquiums, Dr. Atai states, that I have ever attended. Nusseibeh planted a flag at Harvard and returned as a conqueror. Glad she's on our team. Personally, I always worried whenever Nusseibeh would enter my office that she would usually leave taking books from my office library. A reminder for you, Nusseibeh, please return all the books you've borrowed from my library before you leave to Houston. Her thesis is entitled Rukia Upon the Minat, Exercising Nihilism by Refuting Nietzsche's Dionysian Spirit. Nusseibeh ben Helen. Dr. Ali Atai states that, he says, I love this man's brain. I often found myself engaging with Lepu for extended time periods and learning from him. His questions forced me to do research. I think we can all state that as faculty. Both passionate, Dr. Abdullah Ali states, and compassionate. A beautiful soul whose humility drives him to underscore the value of every creature, he will be missed. Javon, Lepu, Aaron, one more, Conless. Hails from New York, and his thesis is entitled A Neoplatonic Reading of the Quranic Relationship Between Humans and Other Animals, How the Quran Endorses Porphyry's Critique of Human Superiority. Lepu. Inna Allaha jamilun yuhibbul jamal. God is beautiful and love, and He loves beauty. Yusra's constancy, thabat, can be demonstrated in her rigorous pursuit of beauty and splendor, consistently bringing perspective to passionate discussions during class. Father Francisco notes that I thought Yusra did a splendid job in her thesis colloquium, and Dr. Ali Atai notes that Yusra's hard work on her thesis was much appreciated. It was truly an honor and pleasure to work with her. Her thesis is entitled, The Answer is in Our Adornment, Healing and Nourishing the Spirit Through Knowledge and Human Beauty. Yusra Shahid Constantine. Father Francisco notes about the next student that he states, Dihya knows a keen appreciation of the intellectual interest of his peers and teachers, always careful and compassionate of his fellow students. Dihya's thesis is entitled A Traditional Model of Anatomy, Reviving a Metaphysical Study of the Body. Dihya Haji. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once likened believing Quran reciters to fragrant and flavorful citrons. Yasin's love for the Quran can be summed up by three inseparable words, tilawa, tilawa, and hilawa. for recitation beauty and sweetness. Yasin and Dr. Altai intended for 2 years to compete in a bench press competition, which fortunately for Yasin never happened. His thesis is entitled Hibs Methodologies as Proof of Quranic Facilitation, Examining Pre-Modern and Modern Methods of Hibs. Yasin Mahmoud. Hamida is, Father Francisco notes, a fundamentally good-hearted person, and he prays that the path after Zaiduna brings her much joy. Dr. Cindy notes that she would come to by her office and discuss the weather, her thesis topic. I asked her about four terms from her thesis, Tahlil, Takbir, Tasbih, and Tahmid. She gave me a beautiful explanation of the definitions and their importance. I personally leave Hamida with the following statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Inna ma'al usri yusra, verily with difficulty comes utter ease. Her thesis is entitled The Believer's Guide to the Horizons, an Islamic Framework of Weather Phenomena. Hamida Mita. Dasim, which means bashful in Arabic, is known among his peers and teachers as humble, resolute, and soft-spoken. Mahdasim has always gone out of his way to show kindness and concern for his teachers. A man with an agenda, Dr. Abdullah Ali notes, Mahdasim inadvertently brought great fun and laughs into our classroom. He'll be greatly missed. I can never get a good read on Mahtasim, another faculty member notes. Still, a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. What is he thinking? Who is he really? And what would I do if I had his fantastic hair for one day? His thesis is entitled Muslims and Christians in Dialogue, The Surprising Agreement of Al-Ghazali and Aquinas on the Resurrection of the Body, Mahtasim Rahman. One of the most respectful people I've ever known, Sarah is always smiling and enthusiastic about every interaction. Her thesis focused on the importance of being able to demonstrate the preservation of the Quran, a project near and dear to my heart, Dr. Al-Ali Atai says. I pray that she continues to refine her understanding of this topic. Her thesis is entitled The Quran, a Multiformic Text, Sarah Naveed Shafi. That ends our BA class of 2023, and now we will start with the MA class of 2023. Dr. Jawad notes that it was an honor to have Habiba in the classroom and a joy to read her thesis. She exemplifies the virtue of courage in many ways, intellectually, through tackling challenges that Muslims face head-on. Being unsatisfied with conventional answers that compromise Islamic values to other systems of thought, and having the intellectual confidence to find new solutions that preserve Islamic teachings. Habiba's love of learning, Dr. Fadi continues, made her an excellent student and an invaluable teaching assistant, both in Hanafi Usul and the Arabic department. Her thesis was well received by the faculty, as it was clear that she put a lot of work into researching a topic of immediate relevance to all of our lives. Her thesis is entitled The Dilemma of Gharar in Insurance Through the Lens of Usul and Maqasid. Habiba Afridi. In the past 2 years, Shihab has matured tremendously, and Dr. Jawad states, I cannot be more proud of his growth, alhamdulillah. The discipline and work ethic that he demonstrated as he wrote his thesis leave me in no doubt that he, with Allah's grace, can accomplish whatever he puts his mind toward. His lighthearted nature and his moral qualities and his desire to better himself will serve him well in the future. Father Francisco notes that, because he has consulted me on various matters from time to time, I recommended that Shihab propose a paper drawn from his thesis research to the Renaissance Conference to be held at UC Berkeley this year. As they accepted his paper, he'll be presenting on an aspect of his MA work at Zaytuna to early modern scholars later this month. Often, Shihab was found at the far end of the academic support center studying, writing his thesis, or converting a pedal bike into a motorized bicycle. His thesis is entitled Thinking Through Tartib, How the Conceptions and Classifications of Muslim Scholars Are Reflected in Tashkubrizada's or Tashkubrizada's Miftah al-Sa'ada and Sajiklizada's Tartib al-Ulum, Shihab Ahmed. The MA faculty note that anyone who meets Raufa will immediately recognize her enthusiasm for learning. Her passion for scholarly reasoning inspires students and teachers alike. We are praying and looking forward to the academic publications of her work. Raufa's thesis was entitled Analysis, Methodology of Producing Fatwas Regarding COVID Vaccines, an Usuli and Maqasidi Perspective. Raufa Abdullah Al-Badani. The first of the three Sixers at Zaytuna, Asil made major strides in her Arabic reading skills. She spent her 4 years and her bachelor's in 2 years. She's not on the Sixers basketball, or she might be, who knows? We'll find out in the future. In her second year of thesis research, she was employing dense classical writings on legal maxims with increased facility and precision. Her thesis is entitled Parsing Sharia Change, How the Development of Urf as a Legal Source Indicates the Sharia's inherent capacity to consider customary change. Asil Atta. That's our Arizona representation there, so. As the second of the three Sixers we have, Miriam Owell has been kind and considerate to both her peers and her teachers. An educator at heart, she is skilled in charting complex legal literature into student-friendly diagrams. That's Dr. Fadi notes. While the chi-square test is used to test one's hypothesis and research, recently Miriam has successfully passed a more reliable way of testing one's hypothesis, the chi test. Learning that adding cardamom to chai takes it to new levels and puts smiles on her dinner guests, thus fulfilling the most crucial of all Zaytuna graduation requirements, the chai test. Miriam's thesis is entitled Rebuilding the Bedrock, Contemporary Muslim Legal Scholars' Engagement with Capitalism. Miriam Ogre. As the third of the three Sixers, Hamza Hashmi has been a fixture at Zaytuna for the past 6 years. His faculty note that he is a humble and soft-spoken student whose voice soars as he leads in prayer. His thesis, Dr. Jawad notes, is a true contribution to the scholarship and represents 6 years of learning at Zaytuna College. Dr. Cindy notes that Hamza volunteered as a tutor for composition and philosophy and was generous with his time in helping students. He has a wonderful way of working with students, always patient and helpful. His thesis is entitled, Are the Arts Dead? A Study on the History of the Five Arts of Logic. Hamza Ahmed Hashmi. Ma'ruf is a man well known and wholly committed to self-development. He kept an open mind in class while maintaining good cheer throughout the day. Dr. Fadi notes that we will also fondly remember his harmonious Quran recitation. His thesis is entitled A Critical Study of Ijma' and His Treatment by Muhammad al-Amir al-San'ani in his Mazalik al-Usuliyin وبيان القدر والمحتاج إليه من علم الأصول معروف محبوب الرحمن معروف.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before I start the prayer, just wanted to say I know she hails from as a graduate of Yale and Harvard Law School, but listening to her words, I was inspired to greet her with a greeting from the streets of Philadelphia. Dr. Rahima, go ahead with your bad self. Let's give it up for Dr. Rahima. Alhamdulillah. And also we pray for Imam Dawood, who's given his blood, sweat, and tears to this this institution. We pray that as he goes forth to a new venue, a new vista, new horizons, may he ever be blessed, and his family. And as he said, he still has two daughters here at Zaytuna. So we'll be reminded for the next 4 years of the incredible, indelible imprint that he has left upon this institution. As for the prayer, if you could repeat after me, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Qurrati Ayunina Muhammadin Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam. Qal Allahumma arina al-haqqa warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. O Allah, show us truth as truth, and bless us to follow it. And show us falsehood as falsehood, and bless us to avoid it. My dear brothers and sisters, I firmly believe that this prophetic prayer bequeathed unto us by the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Almighty God upon him, is one of the most important prayers for humanity as we approach the coming era or chapter in human history. Because it's a chapter where some claim 1 + 1 = 3 is no longer false, it's merely an alternative fact. It's an error where a student can ask a machine to write a PhD dissertation, and in 20 minutes they will have a product. That's today. Maybe 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, in 5 minutes or 2 minutes, they'll have a product printed out that the most astute, advanced, and learned dissertation committee on the face of this earth would have no way of proving that that student did not write that dissertation. My dear brothers and sisters, as we enter this era, we must have an ironclad, unshakable commitment to the truth. We must take oaths that we will never pass off as something that is the product of our minds and our hearts, something that is the product of a machine. We must have a commitment to the truth that is not only based on our realization of the dangers that can occur when falsehood becomes so pervasive that we can no longer distinguish it from truth, but an understanding that one day we will stand before the ultimate truth, the ultimate reality, the creator of heavens and earth and all between. And we will have to give account for every word, every thought that we uttered, whether it contained truth
or falsehood, and the knower of all truth cannot be deceived by something that human beings have made, that some say embodies the devil, and others foolishly say embodies God. But the all-knower will know the secrets of all hearts and the inner workings of all machines. May we be blessed to take that commitment to the truth from these halls. We pray that our graduates, rather, are blessed, each and every one of you, to take that commitment to the truth from these halls out into the world and become bastions, fortresses of truth and light. I started with the words of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus will I end. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ لَيَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ لَيَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَصْدُقُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. That truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. And verily, a person will continue to speak truthfully until he is recorded, or she, with Allah as exceedingly truthful. وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ لَيَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ لَيَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. And verily, falsehood or lying leads to immorality. And verily, immorality leads to hellfire. And the person will continue and continue and continue to lie until he, unfortunately, or she, is written with Allah, recorded with Allah as a great liar. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, blesses each and every one of these beautiful young graduates, and each and every one of us in attendance, when we stand before the Lord of the world, that we will stand before Him, recorded amongst the truthful. May Allah Ta'ala bless each and every one of you, your families, your loved ones. May Allah Ta'ala bless Zaytuna College. May Allah Almighty God bless America. And may God bless this troubled, yet promising, still promising world. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu, 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 Allah, Allah. أتيناك بالفقر يا ذا الغنى وأنت الذي لم تزل محسنا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله وعودتنا كل فضل عسى يدوم الذي منك وفق بها كلية زيتنا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله فيا ربي صلي على المصطفى صلاة احفظ بها كلية زيتنا الله الله